There's a GameStop in Annapolis Mall, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, that was the last. That was like a year ago, actually. I bought Luigi's Mansion for my brother-in-law.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
That's what I was going
to say. You have a Switch and you hold it out.
About to be
sorry, y'all. Over here. I'm so long. Oh, man. Sorry, guys.
Got our hopes up and everything.
Right?
Recorded on Zoom, it's the Diamond of Truth podcast.
What's up, guys?
What it do, baby?
What it do?
Man, we are the Diamond of Truth podcast, back with another installment. We are here. It's me, Vic, Ken, Isaiah. Isaiah over there grubbing on some breakfast. What you eating over there, Isaiah? What's the breakfast menu this morning?
Let's see. The wifey made pancakes with cookie butter. Ooh. She was raving about this. She got this at Trader Joe's yesterday. It kind of tastes like
it's
a gingerbread.
Crushed ginger cookie.
Right. Oh, see, Vic already knew. Of course. Of course you did.
Oh, yeah. So our number one chef over here definitely knows the ingredients.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, she was like, oh, you have to try this. And this is pretty darn good.
And but then you never tried that over here?
No, actually.
Oh, man. That's not exclusive down
like
there,
cookie
man.
Butter. Okay, when I was thinking of cookie butter, I was like, oh, like cookie dough?
Right. That's what I was thinking.
But you know what it is? I have too many family who's allergic to peanuts. Yeah. So we've had to find the alternatives.
That's actually the first time I tried it when we were like, oh, here, Jaden, do cookie butter. It's not peanuts.
Yeah.
Maria said the same thing. She was like, you never had cookie butter? Yeah, speculoos.
Yeah, that.
Oh, man. Maria giving a thumbs up of approval right now.
Oh,
yeah, I
man.
Had no idea. So I had it like last night when we were watching Hunter x Hunter. It was good. Like it's not as sweet. So
sounds good.
I don't have like much of a sweet tooth, so it has a nice like subtle sweetness to it. So that on top of pancakes, I have eggs and kiwi. So it's pretty balanced breakfast. Yeah, dang.
Man, starting the podcast.
Props to the wifey.
Yeah, big props, man. You know, let her know when we come down. We know the menu is gonna be good.
We got some cookie butter pancakes waiting for y'all.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh man. Well, Vic's playing Monster Hunter, going through Alatreon, which we'll talk about a little bit later, which is giving us crazy blues as we play. And Ken's on the war zone. So we're here. It's some news we're going to talk about. We have a new segment that we're going to debut. We got a story time with Isaiah coming up. So, but first, guys, I want to get into this news that kind of broke the other day on GameStop, which was about them requiring their customers to wear masks, you know. And that's kind of big because GameStop first, when this first broke, were saying how they're an essential business and how they sell a lot of things that can be useful for distance learning and to being virtual as well. So now that they're going and requiring, they're joining other stores like Best Buy and grocery stores and Target and stuff that are requiring their customers to wear masks, but they can't enforce it. That's the update now. They can't enforce and require them to wear a mask. But you would think at this
that's
day,
the difference.
Right. They can't
deny service. They told their employees they can't deny service, unlike other retail establishments like Costco.
So why do you think that is? Why do you think they, I mean, we know it's probably about money, but why is it that they won't deny service when it's safety is the number one option? Safety is what we're going for here. It's like,
I don't know. It's like I read a thing with Foot Locker where it sounded like they said the same thing, but they're asking their employees not to enforce it for the safety of their employees. Cause you know, people go crazy and start harassing and attacking the employees. Might be because
of that.
That's
what it is.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happened.
I got a lot of crazies.
Yeah, I think certain employees were being attacked, and I think someone even got killed for for not wearing a mask. And,
Yeah.
And
I remember there was a security guard who got.
Oh, yeah, the dollar store.
They came back and shot. They shot him.
Yeah. The dollar store.
Yeah. So you would think that's safety is the option, is number one priority. And people are taking this mask thing seriously. So I can only imagine walking to a GameStop and if you don't see someone wearing a mask, I mean, you're going to get the looks probably. But it's crazy. Last night I went mini golfing and let's just say, I shot pretty well. You know, but everybody
mini brag.
Humble brag. if you want to come see me at links, you know where to find me. You know, just saying. But everybody was wearing a mask. You know, mini golfing. So I feel like if people can wear a mask when people are out golfing, which is not the most comfortable thing to do, I feel like you can spend about 5-10 minutes in a GameStop and wear a mask. You know, I understand it's a freedom of choice or whatever it is at this point. I don't know if it's a really illegal rule.
But it's a private establishment,
and it's a right, which is what they have to go on. Like they can't require their.
But I'm sure they're trying to avoid, you know, heavy confrontation.
Yeah,
I feel like that's where the safety comes in.
And I think they're selling masks, or I think they're always going to ask their customers if they would, and if they say no, I mean they can't do it. They can't say no. And I think my wife said the same thing. She works at DSW, and they can't really require them to wear masks. They can't turn the service away. I think that's what it is. They can't turn the service away if they're not wearing a mask. But because some of these stores, some of these businesses are hurting, and they've been hurting for a while, so they need all the business they can get. And I can see how a store like GameStop. And of course, video games have been doing well, especially, but even before this, people were probably buying their games mostly online. So getting someone to come to the store to buy games it's been slowing down. So
That's why they expanded their product line too. And now they got a bunch of stuff in there.
Yeah, right. They bought things
other than games. Yeah.
That's why you see a lot more merch instead of games now.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of merch. Push it.
GameStop has changed a lot over the years of what they sell. You know, you could go in there and see games all over, but now you're seeing a lot of backpacks and
merch
of plushies and stuff.
iPads,
yeah.
Miscellaneous electronics. Well, you know, they still buy your games back for 10 cents a game.
Exactly. Don't expect to buy a $60 game. You're going to get all of it at least half back. you'll get a good 10 cents on the dollar. So yeah, GameStop is that's interesting. But the funny thing about this, I can't remember the last time I stepped into a GameStop, so I don't think any of that will really apply to me. When was the last time you guys went to a GameStop?
A couple of weeks.
Paper Mario, Sticker Star.
Wait, this Paper Mario Origami King?
No, Sticker Star on the 3DS.
So I think I stood in line for Kingdom Hearts 3 a couple years ago when I pre-ordered it.
Really?
Yeah. Actually,
there's a GameStop in Annapolis Mall, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, that was the last. That was like a year ago, actually. I bought Luigi's Mansion for my brother-in-law.
Yeah.
You have a Switch and you hold it out.
About to be extreme over here.
I'm so long. Oh man! Sorry, guys.
Got our hopes up and everything,
right?
It's gonna happen, though. It's gonna happen. It's good.
As he takes a bite out of his cookie butter pancakes. Yeah. Oh man! So, also happening, there was a rumor going around. We know how we hear all these rumors of various things on the PlayStation 5 front with the. Pre-orders going live. There was this big thing happening with the people thought the pre-orders were going to be going live. Sony was going to push the button and let them all go all out because there was these sayings about Sony's going to make more PS5s because there's high demand of pre-orders. But Sony came out and said, no, we haven't announced when the pre-order date's going to be. And we don't know. We'll let you know when it comes out because people were afraid that people were already waiting in lines. For a PS5 pre-order when no one has even had a pre-order date. They haven't announced it. And I want to play you all this clip of an interview that someone did of a representative from Sony. And I should have tested this out before we began. So I don't know if you guys are going to be able to hear this. So I'm going to play it. If you can't hear it, well.
Week there were rumors that pre-orders were happening and the Twitter lit up. I don't know where these rumors start, but I have to ask you, like, are you about to press the button now for pre-orders? Like, yeah. When can we expect to get our PS5?
No, definitely not now. We don't know what happened there. We had nothing to do with it. I got a message from someone saying people are lining up at stores, and we had no idea why. So I think it's safe to say, you know, for all of your viewers, we'll let you know when pre-order will happen. We will let you know. It's not going to happen with a minute's notice. We're going to, at some point, let you know when you can pre-order a PlayStation 5. So please don't feel like you have to go run out and line up anywhere until you receive official notice on how that'll work. So I don't know how that happened. Don't know who did it. Wasn't us, though.
So there you got it. So could y'all hear that?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
So, there's a reason for that, why they don't want people panicking. Because scalpers, that's going to be a huge issue. Mm. Especially, you know, for people using bots and everything. Oh. They don't want to freak people out and start, you know, panic buying as soon as things go available.
People will try to make a pretty money out of tickets for pre-order tickets. Just like they do that for shoes all the time, right? They try to sell tickets for the latest shoes coming out. And so if people are buying tickets for a system that's not even been announced yet, you can imagine people trying to rip people off.
Oh, yeah.
So Kenny, you can go ahead and you don't have to wait in line in Best Buy anymore, man.
Yes, thank God.
You can go home now, actually. You're still out there.
maybe that's where Drew is right now.
Gotta get my PS5.
Oh, man. Well, we have a new sim we're going to debut, and it's a fun sim that I've been kind of tossing around for a while. If anybody knows Kenny plays he's a big adamant Call of Duty Warzone fan. He's always playing. He's telling us what he's playing. I really don't know anything about Warzone, but I kind of know a little bit about it. You know anything about Warzone, Isaiah?
Deer in headlights.
I thought that was his answer. Do you know anything about Call of Duty Warzone?
Oh, you're talking to me.
Wasn't even listening.
He was just staring at the camera.
Yeah.
I heard I heard it's free. That's the only thing I've heard about. And also that my computer is not powerful enough to handle it.
Oh no, that's a modern game, man.
It's a CPU heavy game.
Yeah, so tell us about Warzone a little bit, Kenny. Tell us what it is.
Well, you know, it's a battle royale. You know, you drop in with a squad, and you face off other teams. Actually, that's one of the things. I don't know if they still have it right now because they like to update a lot and change stuff in the game. Like they actually had, at first it was 150 players and teams of three, and then they added teams of four, 150 players still. Now they have 200 players and teams of four. That means you're facing off against all that other people. So it's really high action game. But yeah, they actually try to update it a lot, I guess, following the formula of Fortnite, you know, always adding little events, little new things here and there, changing it up so it's not the same stale game. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, eventually it'll get like that where everyone knows where everything is. Like, they actually just changed a bit of the map. There's a part of the mountain they used to run into. Like, all right, because it's just this high ground in the middle of the map. You could see a lot of stuff. Now that there's a tunnel going through there. I'm like, when did this get here? Like, it's always new stuff. They have, they added a little mini quests around the area where you pick up little intel. You know, answer phones, look at computers and stuff, and you get experience, and it just gives you a little story segment. It's like a quest. Okay. And then they open up the vaults. There's vaults down there. You pick up a key, open it up. It's usually more, you know, high rare loot.
So here's a question. Hmm? Are you actually good at the game?
No.
Well, that's perfect. That's a perfect segue into our new segment, Warzone Updates from Kenny.
Life is a war zone. Let's get a war zone update from Kenny.
or what's new with Warzone, Kenny?
All right. So their latest update, they added something that I've actually been waiting for. The spotter scope. Because, you know, in the game, if you're using a sniper scope, you're going to have this little flare, like a glint, so you know someone's looking at you with a sniper scope. Now with a spotter scope, you can still zoom in on stuff without people knowing you're looking through a scope. And that was my issue, because I'm trying to scan for people, and, you know, they see my scope, and I get shot out and die, and then have to start all over again. But yeah, so there's that. They changed. So there's this respawn segment. So I don't know if you're familiar with PUBG, another battle royale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where when you die, you die. But this one, you can respawn. Your teammates either buy you back, or you have one free respawn where you go into this little one-on-one area. And you win the gulag, you respawn. There used to be SMGs and pistols in there. Now they updated. You have sniper rifles in a small area. I was like, oh man, this is tough, because, you know, high powered scope and you're in a small area. Well, a lot of people quick scope now. Some people just put it away and they start duking it out with their fists.
Oh, we can go melee hand to hand in the game.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, there's that. They added solos, and then quads, 200 still, and then trios and duos. So they try to. At first, they would take out the modes, like duos. They would take it out and just make you play trios. But, you know, people start saying, I only have two people. I don't want to play with strangers. So then they added duos back. So they actually listened to their, you know, their player base, because now they just have it all in there with a special segment of what they want to, their flavor for the update. Mm-hmm. Like last time they had the juggernaut mode where the juggernaut care package drops down and you become the juggernaut for a little bit.
Like the actual juggernaut from X-Men?
No, not that one. Well, similar.
To Halo's juggernaut, right?
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Where like you have a crazy amount of health and you have a minigun just spraying people down.
I remember the juggernaut from Halo. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Halo.
So they just add a little spice up festivities in there while keeping the core game available. I think that's a good way to go about it, because some people just want to play the core game and not be forced to play whatever event they're doing.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, they said big changes are coming the next season, I hope.
So will those big changes bring some big wins?
I hope so. You know, hopefully people are like, I gotta relearn the map.
Well, I mean big wins from you.
I get lucky if I get one win a week, man.
those little fifth graders are standing in your way, man.
Oh no. Sometimes I'm watching them play and I'm like, how'd they get this win? I'm playing like that. Just running around doing crazy stuff and they don't get shot at.
Oh man. Well, maybe one day Ken will get to be on the heavy side of the W's and less on the L's.
Oh, hopefully. I forgot what it feels like to win.
And we'll talk about that next segment when we talk about our many losses on Alatreon when we come back.
We'll be right back on the Diamond of Truth podcast.
So watching Vic play Monster Hunter Iceborne is giving, I don't know about you, Ken, but it's giving me all sorts of crazy nightmares that we've had over the last week trying to beat Alatreon. And Alatreon, if you don't know Isaiah, he's this new, he's technically a black dragon. I know Vic was really upset when they didn't call him a black dragon. They have him as Elder Dragon in the game. And
Elder Dragons are scared of black dragons.
Right. You know, it's not, they don't have it written correctly in the game. But he's this new monster. He's the one that he's fighting right now who can change elements. Like you can use all the elements pretty much in the game. So finding a weakness for him is kind of challenging. So you have to really plan accordingly to beat him. And he's really tough. You know, he's probably the hardest. He's one of three monsters that we haven't beaten. I was thinking about this the other day. We haven't beaten the Ancient Leshen.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't beaten Extreme Behemoth. I think those are the only other two we haven't beaten in the game.
Did we beat the pickle already?
Technically, because we fought harder versions of him now.
Yeah.
The savage.
Yeah. But like we have
and tempered savage.
Yeah. Right. So
I count it as a win.
Right. Me too. I mean, I feel like we could probably go back and fight Angel Leshen and Behemoth and probably get some wins. Those were high rank at the time. Yeah. But the Alitrayon.
Master rank gear?
Yeah. The master rank gear and master rank weapons will be good. And but Alitrayon's given us some it's not a hard fight where we know we can't do it. It's just getting his moves set correctly and getting doing the parts of the fight where you have to break the horns and keep him locked in his element. So Vic, as you're playing and you played the fight solo and with us as well, what part of the fight do you find is the toughest part of the fight?
Just staying alive.
But it was cool. You just executed the perfect roll. He was talking about this before we started, how you can roll underneath the fire and you just executed perfectly well. I think when it happened to Ken can never execute that.
that's a guaranteed death for you, buddy.
But we do. What about you, Ken? What do you find pretty difficult in the fight?
So what I find difficult with the fight, I know staying alive is my issue, but I have a hard time hitting the head because I'm using a melee weapon, charge blade.
Right.
So unless he stays still for me to do the high swing on my axe, I can rarely hit the head. That's why I just start hitting the legs, you know, trying to knock him down a little step.
Right. And that's what I found too. Hitting the head is hard when he's moving around. So if he's not on the ground, like when you shoot him to the ground from the sky or ram him the wall, or when the good thing about it is when you do a lot of elemental damage on him, he does go down automatically. Yeah.
That's a good thing they added.
Yeah.
A little stagger.
Yeah. So we get really close. I feel like we're like not that far from beating him because we get the first horn break and then we survive after that a little bit. But it's when if we don't get him locked into the element before he changes, we just have to survive enough until he goes back, you know. And I think that's when we usually die around that time. But we'll get him, you know. And the good thing about Alitrayon, he's around. He's not going away.
You know, not a special event.
How long have you guys been at it?
The past week.
Yeah, he came out came out last week, and
dang.
But it's crazy when this fight came out, a lot of people in the community on different Discords and Reddits, they were really saying this fight's really too tough. They felt like Capcom was really, really cheap with this fight. But I don't think they were cheap with this fight. I think they finally made a very tough fight. I think some people were kind of upset with some of the monsters in Iceborne and how easy it was. Mm-hmm. And like there hadn't been a monster on this caliber in a long time. Like even Safi Jivo, not really a tough fight. It's just an annoying fight because you have to do it
so many times.
Right.
Well, the thing with this fight is it's actually really simple if you think about it. We've seen all of its move, all of its phases and everything.
Yeah.
It's just staying alive. That's literally it.
Mm-hmm. It's not at first, when it first came out, no one knew how to survive the, I can't say the name, Eschatarn Judgment.
Called Judgment.
Yeah.
It's called Judgment.
Yeah, which is, it's just like a supernova move. But we knew you had to weaken it with elemental damage, but people didn't know how to survive. But, you know, when people realize, eat the Astera Jerky and, you know, or use a combination of health boosters together, that was the easy part. But then it came to just staying alive. Well, that's typical Monster Hunter. You have to learn to stay alive.
I think the other thing people might not like is that they're forced to use elemental weapons. You know, a lot of people like that crazy raw damage weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're forced to do a whole another build to make elemental weapons. I don't mind because I like switching it up.
And that's true. You're right. You're definitely right about that. Because people like when Raging Bracadillos came out, everyone was getting that armor and using those weapons because the raw damage was so high. Blast damage was awesome with that. And then you had Agitator as well. Mm-hmm. So people have to really, but when this fight came out, you have to really change all that up because you can't use Blast for this fight. That's not going to help you really.
Nope.
So, you have to really change your whole mindset. So a lot of people had to do that. So I think it's good. I think they really did it. So I like this challenging fight. I think I honestly thought this was going to be a quick fight that we could do and then get into something else. But if you would have told me we could go, we would still be having problems with this fight, I wouldn't believe you.
Oh, well.
So Well, hopefully by the time we do this podcast next week, we can celebrate a W on Alitrayon. Or if not, we'll keep you updated on some Alitrayon news. But the Monster Hunter news doesn't stop there. Last week, we also were talking about the new Dagger image that came out. Not Dagger, I keep calling them Daggers. Dual Blade image. Of Mila Djokovic holding her Twin Blades. That's what she called them, right? Twin Blades. And then we were saying, wow, I'm surprised this movie hasn't been delayed yet because it's supposed to come out September 4th, which is right around the corner. And then as soon as we finished recording, I refreshed that article and it said, update, the Monster Hunter movie has been pushed 7 months to April 23rd next year. I was like, whoa, that's a long time. Would you say, Kenny, that they should just cancel the movie?
Cancel the movie. For the whole movie. Change the title.
That hurts that we have to wait to see Mila and Tony Jaa and T.I. and Megan Good and all the other hunters until April. It was sounding like a great movie. It has a $60 million budget.
$60 million.
Wow.
Yes. Good Lord.
So, oh man, it was going to be the greatest thing. I guess that means it just means it's going to be a better movie when we get to in April, right?
Yeah, with that kind of budget, better be.
Yeah, with that budget, better be, right? Well, I mean, we have Resident Evil to go off. You know, that's. No? Okay. All right. Man,
after the first one, shoo.
Exactly. Oh man! Well,
and perspective, you know, Jurassic Park's budget was $63 million.
Oh, okay, so they weren't far off. So, and they are comparing this to Jurassic Park, saying that their monsters are going to be bigger than the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park. So,
better look better. What is that kind of budget?
Yeah, I want to see them do Alitrayon in that movie. Oh well. Oh, man. Last week for that one. They will. They, man, you've gotten used to that dodge, Vic. You got that down.
I need to practice that dodge.
It's nice when it happens, doesn't it?
It is. Oh man. Well, last week they Ubisoft had an event where they showed off some new games coming off. As we said before, a lot of these companies are doing their own events since there was no E3. So they're showing off new games that they would have shown at E3. And Ubisoft showed off some big titles. Only a couple I wanted to look at, unless there's any ones y'all want to talk about. But I know the biggest one probably is Far Cry 6. And Far Cry 6 looks, to me, it looks really good. And I'll play the trailer in the background if you haven't seen it. It looks like a freaking movie. Like, this thing looks like it's, I mean, it's not saying much for games these days, but this looks like something, if you saw it in the trailer in the theater or something, you would see, you could see this as an action movie. And I love that they chose Giancarlo Esposito as the villain. He's one of my favorite actors of all time. Going back to Do the Right Thing and Spike Lee's Joints. He doesn't call them movies, he calls them joints. And he plays his role perfectly. And he plays this villain character in every show he's in awesomely. I mean, if you haven't seen Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul, he plays that role awesomely. So, definitely, I think it's good. I know you've probably seen this, Vic. What do you think about Far Cry 6?
It's cool that we're getting big urban environments this time, because usually it's big wilderness or an island and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. So this will be interesting to finally see some actual cities to play in.
Yeah, it kind of gives me a little bit of like a city vibe where you, like in Division 2, where you had that city of DC. But this one, I think I forgot exactly where. I think it's like South America or something down there. But it's
their version of Cuba.
Oh, Cuba. Okay. Yeah, I think I agree. I love this city atmosphere. But man, it just looks good. So I think this is going to be a big hit, because you were disappointed with Far Cry 5, and a lot of people were. So,
oh yeah,
I think this is going to be a good comeback for them for that game. They also showed off one that you weren't really happy with either, too, Vic, was Watch Dogs Legion.
Man, I wish they would have just kept it with the same tone as Watch Dogs 2. You know, mm-hmm. Semi-relevant. Because Watch Dogs 2 had a lot of political commentary on our current going around, like the Wu-Tang Clan and the guy who bought the pharmaceutical rep who bought the exclusive rights of their songs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tom Cruise, never forget that, with Scientology. Right. That was a funny mission, man.
Yeah, they're completely changing it up with this, where you can pretty much recruit NPCs to do different things on your team. And
yeah, this seems like a completely different game tonal wise. It's more like what was it, Ghost? If I feel like it's more like Ghost Recon.
Ah, yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's a good comparison, which is another one of their properties. It looks all right. I know they had like a little beta demo or something, I think, that some people were playing, some of the early gamers that were able to get it. They're making it real futuristic, and I don't know how I feel about some of these futuristic games where it just seems like it's just too much going on. You know, it's like it kind of gets away from the gameplay. But that's one of the games. And of course, they have Assassin's Creed 5000. I don't know how many they have. I just claim that. Because I just feel like there's been a million of them. Valhalla, I think it is.
The Vikings.
Yeah. So another one they had, I guess this is their Warframe or War. I keep saying Warframe. Their Warzone or their
Hyperspace,
PUBG, which is was it Hyperscape? Yeah, this is their
Hyperscape, not Hyperspace. My bad.
Yeah, it's did you see this one, Ken?
Yeah,
I think this is out. I think it's out for PC, or it's like a beta or something going on right now. But it's like their PvP type of game they have. So I think everyone's trying to do their.
Everyone's got one.
Yeah, even Pokemon has one. So they showed us some good games. I mean, I wasn't too thrilled with it. Far Cry 6 was definitely the champion in my book, and I think it was the overall champion because even how it got leaked before this event even came up. So I think that's going to be a big hit for them when that comes out. I think it comes out early next year too. So
yeah, February.
Yeah, February.
It's about the same time as all the other Far Cry's came out too.
Right.
Okay. Well, at least they're consistent, you know.
So.
And the release dates.
Yeah. Hopefully. See, the games are not being delayed, but Monster Hunter, April, Collision Course. We have high hopes for you.
Bigger monsters.
Bigger budget.
Bigger budget.
Oh, man. I will leave it at that. When we come back, we'll do some story time with Isaiah.
Ooh. My favorite segment.
Don't be a square. Back to the Diamond of Truth podcast.
All right. So it's funny looking at the chat when during our breaks, and you know, lo and behold, there's that guy. That guy, Drew.
Drew.
That guy always saying something. So maybe next week, Drew. Oh man. Well, before we get into story time with Isaiah, one of our favorite segments that we have, we're gonna play a quick little buy or pass. So if you're buying it, guys, if you like the game and you want it, you're buying it. If you have no interest in it and you don't want it, you're passing it. So three games we're looking at. So first one is a classic OG game from years ago, under a new name though, Story of Seasons: Friends of Mineral Town. So I'll go around the room. So Vic, you're buying or you're passing?
Passing.
Oh, he's passing on the Story of Seasons.
Got time for that.
no time for a Karen and crew from Mineral Town. What about you, Ken? You buying or passing?
Man, you know, that's a hard buy right there.
Oh, yeah. He's buying. He wants to live that farm life. What about you, Isaiah? You buying or passing?
I think I will buy.
Buying, okay. Yeah.
The last Harvest Moon I played was for Super Nintendo, so.
Oh, yeah.
Once again, I'm doing a major jump, so I want to see how much has changed, right?
Man, you got to play Rune Factory. That's where it's at.
I've heard good things about that.
Oh man. All right, next game. A game that I probably will pronounce incorrectly, but it's getting really good reviews, and I think it's PS4's last swan song. Ghost of Tsushima. Vic, are you are you buying or are you passing?
I think I might buy it. It looks good.
It does look good. It looks like a nice open world samurai movie type game from Sucker Punch. It does look very great. Ken, what about you? You buying or you passing?
I'm buying.
You're buying. Very good. And Isaiah, if you had a PS4, and I know you probably this might be the first time you've probably even seen this game.
Well, based on what I'm looking at here, it looks very, it's beautiful.
It is. It's good. It's it is very good. The story, I don't really know the story too much, but it's just one of those games that you would probably buy even if you didn't know the story, just to get lost in the game and enjoy it. So
I'll buy it, bro.
Buying. Good. And our last game, it's a game we talked about I think last week, Paper Mario Origami King. So Vic, I think you're on the record of saying you're buying it. Are you still buying it?
Yes, I actually almost bought it with my with my faucet adapter last night.
Faucet adapter.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was getting some hose adapters to fill up buckets because the kids love playing with water.
Oh,
but it's hard to fill up the buckets and transport them because you know you got to put the bucket in something.
Yep. Nice.
They don't fit in sinks, man. I need that hose extension that hooks up to a bathroom faucet.
From faucets to Paper Mario. Nice. What about you? Can you buy or are you passing?
I don't know where I'm getting all this money from, but I'm buying too.
Got to win the lottery, man.
I'm buying the lotto ticket.
Oh, man. So what about you, Isaiah? Paper Mario, another classic from the N64 days. Buying or passing Origami King?
I will definitely buy this one.
Yeah, it does look good.
I will definitely buy it, yeah.
From what I heard, a lot of good comedy in the game, a lot of good, got good ratings, so good first-party game for Switch. So good, a nice little quick segment that we call buying or passing. No fancy overwork from my father for this one, so just a quick, nice little segment there. So,
all right.
Before we get into story time with Isaiah, last week, we were asking Isaiah about Crystal Chronicles, and he said he's going to get it on the mobile on iOS. And there was little news that came out this week that Crystal Chronicles is only going to be available online, so you can't play the game locally like you had to when it first came out. So when Isaiah does get it for his iOS mobile device, it's going to be good to see Isaiah play with us again and have it him carrying the chalice. On the iOS,
chalice boy.
Don't drop the chalice.
Oh man!
All right, but now it's time for story time with Isaiah.
Gather around, everyone! It's story time with Isaiah.
All right, guys.
Right.
Another story time for you.
All right.
This time it's not about my dad, actually. It's about an injury I've experienced maybe like 10 years ago now. It's been a decade. But a little background information about me. You know, I am a b-boy breaker. You know, I've been dancing for a little while now, but in terms of injuries, I've only experienced two real, like, injuries, and, you know, the story I'm about to tell you guys right now is one of them, so. But basically, another background information is, I have, like, this thing where my second toe is longer than my big toe, and I just looked that up. It's called a Morton's toe. And apparently only like 10% of the population have it or something, but that makes me feel a little bit special, but anyway. But anyway, so I was at this competition. It was a Saturday night, and you know, I was just kind of like practicing with some of my crew members like in the corner, and I was doing something like super basic. I was doing like a handstand, and then as I was coming back down, like my left foot came straight down into the ground.
Ooh.
And because of that thing I had, the Morton's toe, my second toe like received all of the impact at once.
Mm.
So it went boom, and then you know, like, oh, that's weird. Like, my foot felt a little off, right? So I, like, walk back to the wall, and I take off my socks, and I kid you not, like, my toe was, like, literally, like, bent, like, 45 oh, degrees. God.
No.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, my God. And it was crazy because, like, I think all that adrenaline, like, I didn't even, like, feel the pain, you know, just felt like a little.
Oh, yeah, when you come down, that's when you.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, my God. And then I just heard the news that, you know, like, the preliminaries were over, and then me and another partner made it to, like, the brackets, like, the eliminations. They picked the top 16. But I'm, like, looking at my toe, and I'm like, now we gotta go. So I feel bad because, like, you know, like, both of our, like, crew members made it to the eliminations, but they're like, nah, like, we gotta go, like, you're hurt. So I felt a little bad that night. But we left, and then we're, like, calling around, and at that time, like, I didn't have health insurance.
Oh no.
So, like, I didn't want to, like, go to the ER or anything like that, because, you know, it'll be, like, a ton of money. So I just a poor ass college student at the time. And then, whatchamacallit? And then, so, and I thought maybe one of those, like, urgent care clinics would be open too, but they were closed. So I was like, yo, like, you know, there's nothing we can do right now. So we basically all just, like, went back home, and then I actually drove by myself. So thank goodness it was my left foot, because I was still able to drive back home. So I'm driving around, and I'm like, yo, what's going on with my toe? Like, you know, is it broken? Like, is it going to be okay? So I basically try to sleep it off. And then, you know, the next day, so Sunday, like, I miss church, and I go to one of the urgent care clinics. They take me in. They look at my toe. And they're like, oh, yeah, like, this is a pretty bad dislocation, but I think we can fix this for you. So so the doctor who, like, you know, tried to fix it was, like, this big dude. I think it was Japanese. But anyway, like, it's, like, this big guy. And, you know, they gave me, like, the lidocaine shot on my toe. And, of course, like, I don't feel anything, but I feel, like, this crazy tug. And I literally feel him, like, yanking away with all his might. And he's like, ah. He's, like, taking a break. And I'm like, yo, what is going on? And he's like, oh, man, like, this is not budging, right? And I'm looking at him like, yo, my toe's still, like, jacked up. Like, and he's like, yo, I think you have to go to, like, an actual, like, hospital, because, you know, I went to, I think it was called, like, Right Time Pediatrics, mm-hmm. like, one of those urgent clinic cares.
Yeah.
And he's like, yo, you're going to have to go to, like, a hospital. And I'm like, dude, like, you know, that's, like, super expensive, right?
Yeah.
So I go back home, and then, you know, my parents know about it, too, and then another day passes, and now it's Monday, and then my dad's like, all right, like, we're gonna go to, like, this Korean chiropractor in Ellicott City. And I'm thinking, like, chiropractor? Like, my toe's jacked up. But, you know, like, he knows this chiropractor personally, you know, so he thinks, like, you know, he's gonna give us the hookup, and hopefully he knows, like, what he's gonna do. So I go there, and then, you know, he looks at my toe, they take an x-ray. It's, like, literally, like, the x-ray looks like this. Well, the listeners can't see it, but it's, like, literally, like, super dislocated. But nothing's broken, they said, so that's good. So they're like, all right, well, we're going to try to, like, fix it, so just hold on, okay? This man doesn't give me, like, any shots, of course. I mean, he's a chiropractor. Oh, no, like, lidocaine, like, numbing shot. He just straight up, like, just tries to pull it out.
Ooh.
And I'm laying there literally, like, crying because it hurts so bad. Like, ooh. Crying and cursing, and he's just, like, yanking away. And I'm like, dude, like, it's probably one of the worst pains I've ever felt in my life.
Ouch.
Think about it. Yeah, it's just, like, no numbing shot. And it's just straight up. He's just... And of course, lo and behold, the toe won't budge.
All that, it still won't budge.
Yeah, and they're just looking at that toe like, yo, like, we don't know, like, you're gonna have to, like, go see, like, a doctor, you know? And I'm like, yo, right? So, go back home. That's Monday, and then Tuesday rolls by. You know, I think my parents and my sister, they call around. So nothing happens on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, my sister was able to set up an appointment with a podiatrist. So that's like a foot specialist, basically, like a doctor.
Finally.
So we drive up to Laurel, and he's like looking at my toe, and he's like, dang, this looks pretty bad. Like, yeah, and he's like, when did you dislocate it? It's like, oh, like Saturday. And he's like, what took you so long? I'm like, dog, you're telling me, man. So he's like looking at it, and then I tell him about, like, I went to the urgent clinic, they weren't able to fix it. And I go to, like, the chiropractor, they weren't able to fix it. And he stops me, he's like, wait, hold up. He's like, they tried to, like, pull your toe out without any, like, numbing shot. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, dude, that's torture. And I'm like, yes, it was. So he's like looking at it, and he's like, all right, like, I think I know what I need to do. And he gives me the shot, thank goodness. And I see him, like, in the back, I'm laying down, and he's like, he basically just, like, grabs my toe by the foot, and he just hangs it. Ooh. And then he just, like, let it hang there for, like, 5 minutes. And then before I knew it, he was like, oh, it's done. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, man, like, the human body has this crazy way of, like, healing itself, right? He's like, all you needed was, like, a little gravity, right? And he's like, yeah, like, other podiatrists use, like, a Chinese, like, finger trap to fix this. And he's like, yeah, like, that was it. I was like, are you kidding me?
You got all these people yanking on your feet.
Yeah, and they're, like, literally, like, tug of war with my toe.
Oh, man.
And that was it. And he's like, yeah, man. He's like, human body's crazy. I'm like, yeah, it is. So he basically told me, like, all right, like, take it easy for a while. Like, I was on crutches for, like, I think 2 months. So I was, like, hobbling around College Park campus, like, getting to my classes for a little while. But he basically told me, like, oh, you'll never be able to, like, bend your toe, or, like, not to the range as you used to do it, of course. Because, mm-hmm. like, I waited so long to pop it back. So he said there was so much, like, scar tissue that was built around that toe. But I'm looking at my toe now, and I think I have a pretty good good motion. But for a while, like, it was, like, literally, like, stick straight. Like, I could not bend that second toe. So, but, yeah, so that was probably one of the craziest injuries I've had, believe it or not. Like, who knew, like, a little second toe could cause so much pain and damage. I bet. Yeah, dude. So,
man.
But yeah, so I was worried, like, oh, will I still be able to dance and blah blah blah, and then, you know, still being active today. So, with our crew, like our dance crew, the long running joke was like, oh, watch your toe every time I, like, went down.
The breaking journey still goes on 10 years later.
It's the saga continues. Yeah, but man, yeah, that second toe is crazy. It caused me a lot of pain.
Man, that is crazy. That is crazy. I can't believe you had all those people work on you. And
right.
That.
No, yeah, man, none of them figured it out. He literally just hung the toe. That's all he did.
Oh, man. Wow. Wow, that's crazy, man. Story time with Isaiah. Yeah, man. Well,
nightmares. So
Vic's still been fighting a Latreon since we've been doing this this podcast. So, Vic, you've been playing this fight for quite a while now, haven't you?
Man, I almost won the last one.
Yeah.
25 minutes in, and then I screwed up.
Well, you're doing pretty good on this one.
Man, you don't need us.
Thanks for listening to the Diamond of Truth podcast.
We just talk right there.
All right, Kenny. What's going on?
I don't know. I don't want to be cheek to cheek.